Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Works 11 at 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We are in the studio today. High atop the mound, Bob Buhner's here.
Good to see you, Steve, live and in person.
Chris Elio's here.
Yes, I am.
And our thanks, by the way, to Mark Lawrence, who was a big help here. And no thanks goes to the interim manager.
No, he couldn't figure out the where to put the headsets or any of the basics of radio, but Mark Lawrence came in and rescued the whole show.
That was the button I was looking for the record.
That's okay. We went to the bullpen. Lawrence comes out, throws 98 on the slow gun.
Yeah.
Right? And then meanwhile, talk about the slow gun. The interim whatever just came by. Go, you guys all right? Have a great show. Like, thanks.
Yeah, we'll be right on that.
Yeah. Okay. So, Senator Chris Murphy. I want to get into this to start things out. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. He's a Democrat. Has put together a two-part report on intercollegiate athletics. Now, what he plans to do with this, Bob and Chris, I don't know. In other words, there's nothing proposed of legislation out of this. He has not discussed if there's a pathway out of these reports. But when it comes to intercollegiate athletics, he has been his two reports have been bristling. The first one was released March 28th on the money of sports. And obviously, there's a lot of money in sports, you could tell by the four-year million-dollar contract the Shikalimi play-by-play guy signed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money in sports,
it's guaranteed money and a no-cut clause.
Exactly right, and not only that, but we think Cotrillo is going to be doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So that's a different story. And by the way, Chris is in a good mood if you want to know, because the Mets are over 500.
Let's finally go, Mets. Phillies better watch out. We're right on your tail.
Yeah, okay. The Phillies right now, by the way, are in the number one wild card spot.
Yeah.
Tied with Washington. They're at Arizona tonight. 9:05 first. We're on the air with Scott Fransky in L.A. And then 9:40 first pitch.
Yeah, and last night, big win for the Phillies out there.
Yeah, Vince Velasquez, 7 good innings. Kingery pitched well. We're going to talk with Matt Leon next half hour.
Excellent.
About that and more. Okay. So, the NCAA, now the second part of the Murphy Report, the Democrat from Connecticut, after going through the big business, especially the revenue sports, he says the inputs for this business are primarily the athletes, only a few of whom have any real prospect of playing professionally, and that's absolutely correct.
Of course it is.
Right, it's absolutely correct. Now they're going to talk about the education component. And the second Murphy report documents that many other schools do not have a deep devotion to ensuring their athletes receive a quality education. Now, this is where, for example, Penn State's out of this.
Yeah.
Because Penn State, with the Morgan Academic Center, we talk about investment in facilities, Bob, and you're aware of this because you've been a board of trustee at Bloomsburg.
Yes, and at Westminster, sure.
At Westminster. So you understand that these are not easy calls to make on facilities.
No.
Because you have to bid it out, you have to then raise the money for it, and then you go from there.
Well, and just the yearly programming expenses can be really astronomical if done right.
So let's get to what Penn State's done with some of its facilities of late. Pegula, obviously, was paid for, Terry and Kim Pegula. But look what it's done for the hockey program. Look where they are. Now let's get to Panzer Stadium. Well, Panzer Stadium, you show recruits it's on the books, and you'll draw people in because you'll eventually play in this place. Well, look where they went this year. Look at what they've done. You know, well, maybe I can't say to fans, look what they've done with Lash Building, because obviously I've seen it.
Yes, very few fans get to that privilege. Yeah.
But it's spectacular what they've done, and it's not wacky like what they've done at Clemson with miniature golf courses and rock climbing and lazy rivers and things like that. What they've done is logical and really nice, and it impresses not only the student-athlete but also the parents, because it's appealing to a student-athlete, but at the same time it's also appealing to a parent because it's really nice but not crazy. And look what the football program where it is. And now here's the last one I'm going to talk about. The investment made in the Morgan Academic Center, the graduation rate for the student-athlete at Penn State is 90%. That's the current one. There is a distinct possibility of a new number coming up in the fall. Okay, maybe in a couple of months. I'll leave it at that, but it's good news.
Well, Steve, put that in context, because typically the graduation rate among all students at a four-year university such as Penn State is probably around, say, 60%. And that's a high number to begin with. A lot of schools don't have that for students that come in and leave with a degree in 4 years. But Penn State, and let's add Bucknell to that in a certain way, because they're in the same boat with huge academic graduation rates.
Yeah, and look, and Bucknell is one of those schools. There isn't a single person on the planet that is going to look at Bucknell and say, wow, that's not a great school, because Bucknell is a great school.
Absolutely.
So when you look at Penn State's student-athlete graduation rate, it is 90%. Penn State's retention rate for freshmen is one of the better ones in the country. Nationwide, the average first-year to second-year retention rate is 72%. And when looking at colleges and universities in Pennsylvania, that average is 78%. Penn State's is 93% when it comes to the retention rate, just on the student on campus. Overall, 85.9% of Penn State University Park undergrads finish within 6 years. Okay? Yep. 85.9%. Now, the student-athlete grad rate is 90% as of right now. So sometimes, some students take more time to graduate, but first-time, full-time students at the Penn State University Park campus represent 95% of the class of 2013, which is the last one you look at, and 95.2% of all their bachelor degree graduations. So that's just Penn State. So now let's get back to the Murphy Report. There are some really interesting quotes in here along the way. The second Murphy Report documents that many schools do not have a, quote, deep devotion to ensuring their athletes receive a quality education. In the worst cases, 40 times since 1990, according to the second report, engage in some type of academic fraud. Obviously, North Carolina has been brought up, Syracuse has brought up. Both were documented in the report. And they talked about the Fab Mello case. For black football and basketball players in the big revenue sports, the grad data is even worse. Citing an analysis by the College Research Institute, black football and basketball players at the Power 5 colleges, those 65,
right,
SEC, ACC, Big 12, Pac-12, Big 10, and Notre Dame, they have graduation rates that are 22 and 35% lower than their peers. Okay? 22% lower in football, 35% lower in basketball than their peers. It's the quotes in here in the report that end up being somewhat remarkable when you take a long look at some of the quotes in the report about a football player at Kansas State. Football player at Kansas State that wanted to be a veterinarian and was steered to something else because it was easier and would, that way he could concentrate more on football. Really?
Yeah. I think the trouble is, Steve, that Penn State has always had that culture of come to Penn State and get an education first, play football second. I mean, Joe Paterno's mantra. I recall as an example, I think it was Greg Buttle or somebody of that nature that had a Saturday morning exam.
Dennis Onkotz.
Before one of the regular season game of the year,
yep.
He took the exam. Of course he did.
Right. That's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
You look at Scott Radisic when they're talking about what they want to do with Beaver Stadium down the road. Well, he's been working for the company in design for years.
Yeah.
Well, he played the NFL, and now he's doing this. I interview so many young men at quarterback club and Penn State Hoops Club, and they start going through what their majors are. Because I'll ask each one, what is your major? And the vast majority of them are sitting there looking at the majors going, really?
Yeah.
Here it is. The whole time I felt stuck in football, stuck in my major. Now you look back and say, well, what did I really go to college for? Lousy classes you won't use for the rest of your life? I was majoring in football. That's the young man that wanted to be a veterinarian.
Yeah.
In the report, it says, unfortunately, the NCAA and its member schools care more about the appearance of educating athletes than they do actually educating them. These are harsh statements.
No question.
They're made in here. He then puts in his report the number 15,000. That's the number of players missing from NCAA graduation rate calculations. Then he puts here, then I put the 22 and 35, I talked about that. Federal graduation rates of 2015, because I had to go back.
Yep.
Federal graduation rates of 2015 March Madness teams. The University of Cincinnati, 8%.
And if I could just interrupt on that, if you remember the former coach at the University of Cincinnati, Bob Huggins, who went to West Virginia, was just pounded by the then president of the University of Cincinnati, lost his job because of poor graduation rates.
They graduated one player.
Yeah, that would be like 8%. Right. But I mean...
Under Huggins, I think they graduated one player.
Well, they're not much better now.
I mean, my running joke was they were extremely proud of that kid.
Exactly, and he got, he was nominated to be a Rhodes Scholar probably with that situation. But yeah, Cincinnati, wow.
8%. Indiana. 8%.
Mr. Miller or...
Tom Crean.
Or Tom Crean,
since 2015,
he's not.
Would have been Tom Crean.
Yeah, no. Ooh. Okay.
Oklahoma State, 9%.
Oh, those Cowboys, yeah.
Stepping it up.
All right. Says here several went on to play baseball with the Mets.
Okay. I mean, they probably run the Mets. They don't play for the Mets.
Same difference.
Exactly.
Off the air, I've got... Hey, Elio, did I ever tell you the Mikey Conforto story?
No.
Okay, I'll tell him, because I've told on the air so many times that bore the audience. I'll tell him off the air. He'll love it.
I sure will.
But that's what, they're going through what happened in North Carolina. They're talking about the Fab Mello case. In-season daily schedule for a Division I football player, 5 a.m. wake up, workout 6 a.m., check in for breakfast 7:15, 7:30 class, 9 o'clock class, rehab and treatment 10:30 class at 12:30. Lunch if you have time at 1:30, 1:45 get tape, go to meetings by 2 to 6:30, meetings at practice, 7 o'clock dinner, 8 to 10 study hall, 10 to midnight finish school work, find food, watch film, study playbook. Now, who they took that from, I don't know. But that's in the report.
Well, wouldn't that violate existing NCAA rules given that schedule? You're only allowed under, I think, recent NCAA 20. Rules, 20 hours a
20.
Week.
Yep, you're allowed 20. A lot of players would go through this academic machinery in their colleges and be spit out at the end of the machinery, left torn, worn, and asking questions with really no guidance on where they should go. No purpose, no idea of their trajectory, and sometimes left with a degree in hand that didn't behoove any of their future interests. I feel bad in those situations because, Bob, you and I have seen the Penn State kids.
Oh.
And the Penn State kids, they've got legit degrees. Now, I'm not saying not everybody does. I'm not going to tell you Ohio State doesn't or Michigan doesn't or whatever, because obviously they do. But here comes the next big one. The next big one is next month. Will the California legislature next month pass a bill where California student athletes get paid.
Oh, that'll be a joyous thing to upset the apple cart.
Well, but here's a couple parts that people don't realize. Stanford's a private school.
Yes.
USC is a private school.
It is a private school.
It's a private school. So do they fall into this, or is it just state schools? And that's going to be very interesting to see if they sign that. And Mark Emmert has already said, we won't hold any championships in California.
Well,
okay.
Well, after hearing that schedule that these student athletes have to go through, I think they should be paid something. So
well, they
that's
are
all I'm
paid
saying.
A lot.
Well, a scholarship is worth
something.
I'm
not the scholarship guy. You know that. Come
but
on,
still,
Steve.
To me,
in a country right now that is overburdened with student loan debt.
Yeah.
I mean, student loan debt.
It's huge.
The ability to walk out of a university today debt-free.
It opens
That's a pretty enticing thing that you get to start from zero while somebody else is starting from minus whatever financially.
Yeah. It sure is, Steve.
I mean, I would...
You know, I guess the thing is...
Because your kids are not going to be athletes.
No, they're not. They're musicians, which is even worse.
Right. No, I'm not saying that. It's not meant to be disparaging in any
no,
way.
No, I know.
Your children are not athletes.
Nope.
Right? If they go to college, they're going to walk out with student debt. What would it mean to you as a parent if you didn't have to pay their tuition, or at least part of it? And what would it mean to you as a parent if they walked out debt-free?
But that's a different story. Because if the school was using my kid's likeness, I would expect them to give a scholarship and pay him or her for their likeness. Because the school is making money hand over fist on them, and that's the story.
That's where the NCAA has to make a decision as to whether the athlete can profit off the likeness.
That's a separate issue.
And that's where the school doesn't get involved, and they don't have to make the payment.
Yeah.
But they have to open the door, to rule-wise, to allow that to happen.
Sure.
Right?
That's a different story.
Right?
That's third-party payments.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
No, but I'm even saying as far as, like, if my daughter goes to a college and writes a song for that college, and that college uses that song to benefit the college in any way, shape, or form, she should get paid for that.
Well, that's where copyrights come in.
But, I mean, that would be in addition. But then apply that to sports. You have a star quarterback at Auburn who's, you know, people will watch those games because of that quarterback.
But this is what I always love about this, is this. How much money do you think Kyler Murray brought into Oklahoma? Oh, yeah. Okay, that's one guy. Okay, how much money did the right tackle bring in?
Right, exactly. There's a scale. There should be a scale.
Now, to all the right tackles in high school football around the area.
Yeah.
You're very valuable.
Yeah, they are.
Kyle Murray wouldn't be the quarterback he was
without you.
Right, he couldn't stand upright.
Without the right tackle.
But except for your parents, you don't sell any tickets.
No.
No offense. You just don't. I'm talking in the real world here.
And the other part of that whole scholarship debate is, what do you do with, say, Penn State wrestling? What, 9-time national champions? Not a huge money-making sport for Penn State. It is, to a certain extent.
They bring revenue in, but the expenses far exceed
absolutely.
The revenue.
Absolutely. And so can you pay those great, incredible national champions money for a sport that is running at a net loss? How do you do that? I don't know that you do. You can't.
Well, you really can't. And see, this is going to be my argument forever about a school having to pay student-athletes. Which sports do you now drop, and which student-athletes end up losing their scholarships?
To make up for the compensation that has to be paid. And what do you do if you were, the bottom rung of the Big Ten? Let's pick on a school, Indiana, which has not always won the Big Ten championship. What do you do? How do you pay those athletes compared to the guys at Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State?
But again, everybody gets the same cut.
Well,
Indiana gets the same $54 million cut that Penn State does. I mean, now he's telling me to take a break.
And yes. And we're right in the middle of it.
We got to pay bills, man.
But he's just being mean about it.
He is. We had him on the ropes, and he says, let's take a break.
No, I don't know. I'm not on the ropes. I can go for another half hour. Are you kidding me?
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WJOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Best product, best sales staff, outstanding service department.
Quick Lane is a special place.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You just heard the voice of the outstanding Mark Lawrence. I, on the other hand, am sitting in the Mark Lawrence power chair today. I feel like I'm a pilot for United Airlines.
You have a certain glow about you just sitting in that very chair.
This is exciting.
It is. It doesn't get better than this. Steve, there's...
Just so you know, Elio's in coach.
Yes, he is. He's economy.
I've sat in that seat once or twice, and it is special.
Yeah, he boards last on this plane.
Yes, I do. Yes, I'm in the 32nd row. That is me. Steve, I'm by the bathroom.
Yep. Steve, big news from Penn State today. About the Penn State Football and Basketball Network moving up into the biggest market in Pennsylvania. Why don't you let us know what happened?
Well, obviously, the value of WKOK, let's start with that, at 10,000 watts and how WKOK blankets this valley.
Yes, it does.
I can be in a car in State College. I can pick up the station.
Yes, I can. Yep.
It's, you know, up in Williamsport. I've gone as far as Hazleton East and have heard the station.
Well, we get our friend from Wellsboro even calling in.
Doug will call in from Wellsboro. I'm shocked. Dougie hasn't called
in. Yeah, Doug, if you're out there.
Preseason. We're the preseason, Dougie. You haven't called?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we can play 10,000 questions. But they've decided to go with a new affiliate in Philadelphia, and it was through Entercom they put this together, that's going to give them the power to really go from North Carolina up into New England on 1210.
The big talker in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and that's for football and basketball.
And also the coaches' shows on Thursday night that you do with...
Coach Franklin, Coach Patrick Chambers.
Sure.
So we'll do that. But, yeah, they entered in with in Philadelphia on WPHT, which is great. Yeah, look, you're always looking... One of the interesting parts of this deal was that they wanted very much to improve what they were doing in Philadelphia, but they wanted them to take, if possible, both football and basketball. And with Penn State, with so many players in the Philly area, Seth Lundy, Lamar Stevens, Mike Watkins, you know, you can go on the long list of players there. They wanted to have a presence there, and it looks like now they're going to do that for both football and basketball, which is great. And that's going to really help them out. So, I mean, you're trying to put together, I think, an area of the station in Pittsburgh is very good, but I think that, you know, you'd love to get a stronger signal.
Blankets all of Western Pennsylvania from Erie to Washington. Yeah. Steve, besides WKOK, how many stations make up the Penn State Football Network, say?
60.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so 60 stations make it up. It's one, numerically, in college football, it is actually one of the bigger networks out there to go with. This station, and there are, there might be 60 others now. I think it's 61 or something like that. And I know Sandy was on that station this morning. Sandy Barber was to be on it, to talk, make the announcement about Penn State getting its new radio home in Philadelphia. But that is that's a big move. Being on this station's a big move. It always has been. It's why it's meant so much. That's one of the reasons I'm here. Obviously, because the station is so important to what goes on. But you're talking about. Let's see here. Penn State sports programming is carried on more than 60 radio stations across the region. Affiliates and all aspects are managed by Penn State. They're on in 5 states.
Yeah.
So if you're playing this game, all right, how many states are the Penn State Sports Network in, and how many states have warrants out for Chris Elio? So, again, it's amazing. It's the same number.
So just to be clear, though, because I didn't hear it in there at all, we're not losing Penn State on WKOK just for the listeners. Yeah.
No.
This is
okay. I was talking about the value of the station.
Yeah.
This is generic only to the Philadelphia market.
Gotcha.
It just turns out they've got a station that can take it into North Carolina.
Gotcha.
Now.
I didn't hear it specified. I just wanted
North
to be clear.
North Carolina up into New England. I mean, you can hear 1210.
It is one of those 50,000 watt clear channel stations that really blankets an entire region of the country.
Right. Yep.
By the way,
I'm wanted in 7 states.
And he's only been to 6, so.
Most of them are for things we can't talk about on the air.
Now, you know, and every station, of course, has business they have to take care of.
Right.
And Roger's done a brilliant job.
And it stops there. Right, Steve, on the Penn State...
The interim guys over there. Look right there. Yeah.
On the Penn State network, you're actually brought by... You always close out, brought by so-and-so.
Yeah. Learfield IMG College.
What does that actually mean? Because I listen all the time to you on Saturdays, even in the stadium. But what does that really mean?
Well, they're the rights holder.
They negotiated with Penn State
Athletics.
So,
in other words, they're the ones that ended up in the end putting this part of the deal together. They're the ones that are in charge of procuring affiliates.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. The advertising that you hear on there, they sell. They pay a rights fee, then they have to sell the advertising, which opens the door to the stuff you see in the ribbon boards and on the scoreboard and everything. Well, Learfield IMG sells that too.
Yeah.
Now, it was Learfield for a long time.
Yes.
IMG had its own separate group of radio stations. For example, IMG was the rights holder for Michigan.
Right.
IMG was the rights holder for Ohio State.
Yes.
You know, as examples, Learfield had Penn State, Wisconsin. You know, I think Fox, believe it or not, Fox has Michigan State. Fox does.
Yeah.
That's the only one that's not a Learfield IMG one in the conference. So what happened was that about a year and a half ago, Learfield and IMG proposed a merger. It was finally cleared in January.
Well, there would be antitrust considerations.
That's why I thought it was going to take longer than it did, Bob.
Yeah.
Because I thought this would be something that the Department of Justice would get involved in, you know, just to make sure. I don't think there's anything criminal going on here.
But it's a potentially civil monopoly.
Right.
Which is actually frowned upon, obviously.
Right. And that's why I thought the Department of Justice would get involved. It may take a little longer than it did. Evidently, it must have passed. Muster.
Yeah, this is another classic example of the intersection of law, government, and sports.
Yeah.
You know, you started off with the report from Senator Murphy of Connecticut on the NCAA and graduation rates, etc. And here, just to be able to listen to a football game on a Saturday afternoon with you and Jack Ham from the stadium, it's got to go through the U.S. Department of Justice because Learfield and IMG, which I think stands for International Management Group.
I think it is. Yeah,
and
their headquarters for years has been in North Carolina.
But you know, they, as you know, and I know, they have a high school in Bradenton, Florida, of all things, too. IMG Academy.
Right, they do. And then Learfield's based mostly in Jefferson City, but also has another base in Dallas, Texas.
Right.
And Penn State's been a Learfield. Been a part of the Learfield group for a long time.
Yeah.
So they changed this over in midseason. Now they're putting new policies in place and things that no fan would know about.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of the things that, as an average listener to Penn State, I would think it's Penn State that sold the advertising. It's Penn State that did this and that. And it turns out, you know, obviously it's not. They just get a rights fee, and it eliminates having to do all the work.
The first time through for Fran Fischer, not the second time, but the first time through for Fran Fischer, Fran did a lot of the going around from station to station and getting stations on the network. I mean, we'll be forever indebted to Fran for making this, you know, between obviously what Joe was doing on the field,
Didn't
but
hurt.
Also Fran doing so much legwork, and along with Jim Tarman, to get these stations on board with Penn State football, and then he did the same thing with basketball. So we're forever indebted to his hard legwork that he put in to make this happen.
Yeah.
Right? But he also had, I think, had to sell the commercials himself at one point.
Wow.
And then the first rights holder, now they did go with C.D. Chesley at one point. And for those long-timers, and Tony in Shamokin, and by the way, Tony, I saw Tony's comment on our page yesterday. Tony, I saw that about, hey, why don't they play Abington Heights and people like that? You know, you talk about Southern Columbia.
Sure.
Yeah, they're less than an hour away. I'm like, hey, Tony, well done. Excellent comment. But Tony would remember Notre Dame highlights.
Oh, yeah.
Lindsey Nelson, C.D. Chesley.
Absolutely.
So Penn State had that association with Castleman D. Chesley. In fact, Castleman D. Chesley is the one that hired Fran as the third announcer in 1966 and hired Fran to be a part of the television component as well because he liked Fran's voice.
Oh, who didn't like Fran? If you didn't like Fran Fischer's voice,
exactly.
You didn't like sports announcing. Right,
exactly. And then Nelson Goldberg and TCS came in, and then they sold everything. I never had a Daily's Juice in my life, but I talked about Daily's Juice a lot when I was the third guy on the radio network. But that's how it worked out.
Yeah.
So the rights holder ends up selling all of the commercials because that's the way for them to then make back the rights fee that they paid.
Sure.
And the rights fee that Learfield IMG pays Penn State is not $1.90. I can tell you that.
It's a few dollars more, certainly.
A few?
Yeah. I was mentioning a few, meaning in zeros, a few zeros.
Yeah, it could be maybe eight figures.
It could be.
Right?
I'll bet it is.
About a year?
Yeah. And
that's why I hear people say, oh, TV, you know, TV, the radio contract is not insignificant. It is very, very big.
No question.
Now, but they've got to sell it to make it back.
Sure they do.
They don't sell it to make it back and they lose money. Now it becomes an issue. Three of the last 4 years, to the credit of Doug Nelson and his staff, they've been the number one seller in Learfield.
Not surprising with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
They've been great. They've been great.
And, you know, one of the things, if you heard the teaser that Mark Lawrence put on for a show tomorrow, he's going to have somebody from Wise Market being on about diets and stress. I have a great admiration for the folks at Wise Market for one reason. Mm-hmm. When things were a little bit bleak a few years ago at Penn State, there was one company locally that stuck with the whole Penn State program from top to bottom. They happen to be headquartered down in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. Yep. They're called Wise Markets.
And I sat, and they did a program about giving back. About feeding people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And,
big thing.
And they hooked in with Penn State about that. And I think I did 14 different commercials for that along the way. I was proud to do it. It was great.
Well, yeah.
Well, when I got it, though, I thought it was going to be, okay, I read this one, and then we insert this. No, it was all 14 different ones.
Oh, boy. There you go.
I was there for an hour. Like, okay, that's one. That's two. But it was worth
it. Well, you know,
it
would
help people out. And Wise is always trying to help people out. And believe me, that was an very important contract.
Because it said they were going to stick with the program when there were others who I no longer subscribe to or purchase who left for reasons that, you know, that are best known to them and them alone.
Every company has to make their own decision.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to get critical about a decision people have to make. I mean, that's up to them. But boy, I sure do love the ones that stayed.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, thrilled about that. Now, Elio was limping around a little bit. Did you notice that?
I noticed that.
Yeah, that's what happens. Like when you're a Mets fan and you're jumping on and off the bandwagon, you will sprain an ankle.
I never jump off the bandwagon.
Oh.
I suffer and I suffer.
Yeah, sometimes the bandwagon is a little high off the ground there, Chris. You have to jump up a bit.
Oh, come on. What did I even say to you in the hallway? I am cautiously optimistic. I understand who we're playing. We just beat up on the Pirates and we're beating up on all bunch of cruddy teams outside of the Twins that we swept.
You beat up on a double-A team from Pittsburgh. What's the big deal? And
exactly.
I am a Pirates diehard fan.
Exactly. I mean, it's one thing to say that we have the best rotation in baseball. That's okay. But outside of that, yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. Give me two more weeks of this against the Nats and the Braves, and then we'll talk.
You know, the thing about last night, I watched both the Phillies and the Pirates play, and one was just starting up and one was ending, basically, last night. Pirates, the classic story of their season. They're down 7-3. They're down 8-3. They come back. Reynolds, a rookie, is a bases loaded double, brings in three.
Tremendous.
It's 8-6.
That kid.
And
tremendous.
Then it comes 9-6, 9-7. They've got a runner on in the ninth inning, and a guy at bat could tie the game, and he strikes out. End of game. And meanwhile, the Phillies are just crushing it out in Arizona.
Kingery, Homer, Velasquez look good. They got Arrieta tonight.
And then
that's the only question mark right now.
Last night, there were some great plays in the field by the infielders for the Phillies. Very impressive, playing great baseball when they need to. Although they had a bit of a dry run there for a little bit, but
they're getting there.
But if they can get back, we could certainly see the Phillies go a fair way this season.
Hey, I said it to you, Steve, at the beginning of the season, like when it looked like the top teams were kind of befuddled, all four of them.
Yep.
Whoever figured out their pitching first was gonna take off with this, and the Braves were first, and that's why they ran and hid. But now the Washington Nationals got their bullpen in order a little bit, and the Mets have got their bullpen in order a little bit, and the Phillies starting pitching is better, and look what's happening now. All of them are winning.
But to see the poor kid limp. I said, what happened? I guess at one point he fell off the bandwagon, he sprained it, then he sprained it again, jumping back.
Well, the interesting thing, Steve, I noticed him, he limps on both legs because he fell off the bandwagon on one leg and then fell off on the other side on the other leg, poor guy.
Unbelievable.
I never jump off the bandwagon, ever.
I mean, I realize that right now, for the most part, we're having fair weather. But when it comes to fans, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, so did you like the Mike Conforto story?
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, I've told it on the air before. That's why I didn't tell it again. But as a Mets fan, I figured you'd appreciate it. Now you'll have a different look at him when you see him on TV.
Oh, yeah. He was 3-for-4 back then, too.
Yeah. Bottom of the eighth inning, the White Sox lead the Tigers 4-2 in a game that has gripped the nation. It's on ESPN Plus, just to let you know how desperate they are for programming.
Wow.
That's on one cable station in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, I think.
But it's a really good one.
But it's the best one in Sheboygan.
In Sheboygan,
it's the
number one rated station there. The Pirates take on the Brewers at 7:05 tonight. Phillies and D-backs. Mike Leake goes for the D-backs tonight. Jake Arrieta for the Phillies at 9:05 is our airtime.
Yeah.
9:40 will be the first pitch tonight. And the Yankees play the Orioles tonight. Let me see where is your unit playing tonight?
Yes, they're playing the Marlins.
The Marlins?
Yep.
Do they still play professional baseball?
Going for the four-game sweep after the doubleheader sweep yesterday.
Every time I see Batavia in the New York Penn League.
Yeah, the NyPen.
I feel like those players are 6 months away from the majors in that organization.
Such is the quality of the double-A team in Batavia, New York.
Oh, no, they're single. They're single A.
Oh, boy.
Or
they're ready
to
go then.
Or such is the quality as the pro team in Miami.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Let's see here. Who are the Mets pitching tonight? Let's see. Zach Wheeler tonight.
Tom Seaver. No, Tom's not on this year.
Same difference.
They could send Tom Seaver's grandkid tonight and beat this team.
Probably. They called me for bullpen work a few months back, so, you know.
Noisi goes on the mound today. Hector Noisi.
Who?
Hector Noisi.
Who?
He's making his first career appearance.
No shock.
Straight from Batavia, New York.
Exactly.
In fact, in his career, he's pitched 107 games at Batavia. No, he actually... He's actually pitched 107 games in his career.
Pitching in a beer league last week. Yeah,
he's actually 12-31 in his career.
He was in the Cape Cod Summer League just recently.
He was bagging groceries over the weekend.
Well, I look at the Batavia kids and I think, man, you guys are closer to the major leagues than anybody else
in the whole
thing. I mean, it's like, with that organization, you're going to rocket your way up it.
This whole commentary right here is proof why I'm cautiously optimistic about the Mets' resurgence. So they haven't played anybody good except for the Twins since the All-Star break, so.
Well, it's a matter of scheduling. It'll catch up in the long run.
Or it won't. Maybe they got it right.
No, I've watched the Mets. No. They're pretty good. No. I've watched them. They don't have it right. During the break, okay, I want you to get the dictionary.
Okay.
I want you to look up the word mirage.
Okay, I will. Okay. All right.
I think it'll help you in terms of the perspective
smoke,
on your team.
Smoke and mirrors, that phrase? You want me to look up that, too?
Yeah, that'd be it.
Neil Kulong next half hour. And then we're going to talk Pro Football Focus in the final half hour. Break down some numbers.
Oh, get the calculator out.
Yep. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.